Karel Janowitzki has had a distinguished career as a composer, pianist, writer and broadcaster, and at 77 is still full of energy. When I interviewed him in his study in his family's house in North London, there were few signs that he might be contemplating retirement. His latest composition, a sonata for clarinet and piano, lay open on the upright piano in the corner as he added a few finishing touches, and the room was full of books, CDs, scores and articles. Music has always taken center stage in Karel Janowitzki's life. He was born in Plzeň in 1930 into a musical family. His father was an opera singer. But his dreams of a musical career were cut short with the communist takeover of 1948. His distinctly middle-class family was mistrusted by the new regime, and the father of his fiancée, Silva, even faced arrest. So in October 1949, Karel, Silva and Silva's parents fled to an unknown life in England, where Karel and Silva still live today. Karel Janowitzki began our conversation by telling me about his flight from Czechoslovakia.
My prospects for further study were fairly bleak because my family were considered politically incorrect. And I was told at the entry exams for the academy in Prague that I would not be taken on for that reason.
And you'd wanted to study piano and composition, is that right?
I was learning to play the piano already, and I was composing a bit. But I also wanted to go in for conducting, but that was a sort of optional extra. But yes, basically I wanted to do music. My father was an opera singer, and I wanted to go on with music.
You arrived in London as a refugee. It must have been pretty hard to pick up the pieces, I should imagine.
I was lucky in a way because there was a little case that I could take with me across the border. We had to pretend that we were in the no-go zone round the border on some sort of business, and my business was looking for some freelance work in the hotels in Mariánske Lázně as a musician. I did have a few of my compositions in my travelling case, and I sent one or two to London to a well-known Czech violinist who was here during the war, Jan Šedivka, and he arranged for me to study on a small scholarship at a place which no longer exists, which was called the Sary College of Music. And this was also a good reason for the British authorities to give me an entry visa, because nobody really wanted to have refugees. The British authorities were very cagey about that.
And then after you studied, the BBC played a crucial role in the development of your career, didn't it?
Only after about 10 years. It took a long time for me to get some freelance work in the BBC to begin with, and then I got into the gramophone department of Radio 3, which was the classical music department. In 1964, in fact, so it was quite late in the day. Before then, I earned my living as a freelance musician, composer, teacher.
And at that time, obviously you'd brought with you from back home in Czechoslovakia the whole Czech musical tradition. Did you find that in this new, very different musical context, that you were able to build on your musical identity, let's say, that you had as a Czech, or did you find yourself becoming an English composer?
This is a difficult question, because at that time, in the post-war years, there was a lot of ferment in music. Everybody was looking for new ways of composing music, and there were all kinds of composition methods being used and taught. The main of them was, of course, Schoenberg's 12-tone system, which came back after the war, having been proscribed in Germany as Entartete Musik, as you know. So in this ferment, it was quite easy to find one's own feet, as it were. I joined the Society for the Promotion of New Music, and one of my pieces even got on the recommended list of this society. So this was quite an exciting time.
And looking through your biography, I noticed that one piece that you composed was an opera on a science fiction theme.
That's right. That was at the time when the Sputnik started flying at the end of the 50s. And there was a competition put up by Ricordi, the Italian publisher, for a one-act opera. So I got together with my good friend, the writer and poet Karel Brusák, and he wrote a libretto. And I wrote the music and we sent it to Ricordi. We didn't get the first prize, but it was quite an exciting project. The opera is basically a story of a crew of a spaceship flying into space. The scenes are the control room on Earth and the control room in the spaceship, both of them identical, and peopled by the same kind of characters. It's almost uncanny, the relationship between these people. And the spaceship eventually, towards the end of the opera, watches the Earth being consumed in a sort of nuclear holocaust. So it's that kind of science fiction story.
And in the meantime, you and your wife had settled here in North London, and you have two children, don't you?
Yes, grown-up children who pursue their own careers.
Did you speak Czech at home when they were growing up?
We lived in this house in Muswell Hill with my wife's parents, so you can imagine that the household generally spoke Czech. And until the children went to school, they spoke Czech. After that, it became a bit more difficult to keep it up because they're fairly near each other. There's only 2 years between them. And so, of course, going to school, playing with their schoolmates, and then coming home and playing with each other, they started more and more speaking English, and they almost lost their Czech. My daughter still can understand it and can speak the sort of basic kitchen Czech. My son has, in the meantime, after having finished university, picked up Czech again and is now totally bilingual.
For the whole period of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia, you never once came back home again. What did it feel like going back to Czechoslovakia after the fall of communism?
This was a very strange experience because it came so suddenly. None of us ever thought that the communist regime, after having been able to survive for so long, could suddenly roll over on its back and give up its ghost. And it did. So 2 months after the so-called Velvet Revolution, the fall of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia, I got into the car with three of my colleagues from the BBC, and we drove there in the middle of winter in January 90. We wanted to see what the country was like, and of course there was a ferment of the Občanské Forum, which was a sort of movement. It wasn't a political party, but it was a sort of mass movement to somehow put the country back on its feet, because it was basically bankrupt. And not having been anywhere near the country for 40 years before, I was surprised how my memories of the places and of the people and of the language and of the sound of the street even was flooding in. I could remember all these places. It was a very exciting time. We spent a fortnight, came back, and after coming back, I suddenly went into a sort of long sleep. I found that I was falling asleep during the day after whole night sleep, and this went on and on for about 2 weeks. And after that, I've been all right, and I've been going back to the country, which shows that it really is quite against human nature to be cut off from one's roots for 40 years without going back. It shows that my mind was going through a very intense period of sorting itself out.
And one thing that must be exciting for you is to have your music performed in the Czech Republic now.
Oh yes, that's very exciting, particularly as it's not being played just because it ought to be played, this sort of composer who'd been a persona non grata and now could be played. But I feel that some of the young people who pick up my music and play it, they actually enjoy it. And this, of course, for a composer is very important and most gratifying, because it's not like an artist could look at his pictures, but a composer is totally dependent on having it performed by somebody and then seeing what it does and what's it like. It's been a sort of inspirational thing, because I write more freely and with more zest, I suppose, in my old years than ever before.
And finally, do you feel today, after spending most of your life in Britain, do you feel more Czech or more British?
I certainly feel both very strongly. I feel I can move around in Britain with the same sort of ease, I mean move around intellectually, as I do back in the Czech Republic. I think I can quite honestly say that I feel at home in both places.
Karel Janovický, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.